Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
My name is Brian. If you don't know who I am, my name is Brian. I am the youth pastor here at Word of Life Church, and I am so honored to be able to speak this morning. Before we do anything else, I just want to thank God for our pastors. Anybody thankful for our pastors? I mean, that's a good clap. But we look to our pastor every single week to hear from God for us so that he can get us into the place that God's called us to be. So I don't know about you, but I think we can honor our pastor a little bit more this morning. Oh, man. I am so honored to be able to speak to you this morning. Like I said, if you don't know who I am, my name's Brian. And just before we get started, I got a quick question in here. Does anybody remember what you wanted to be when you were a kid? Right? You can just raise your hand. Okay, let's do a survey real quick. We didn't raise a lot of hands. Let's do a survey. Did anybody in here wanted to be a doctor? Any doctors? Yes, okay, awesome. What about any, let's go to something different. How about any chefs? Anybody wanted to be a chef? Look, we got a couple back there, right? That's what I'm talking about. Awesome. Did any of the ladies in here, you just wanted to be a mom? Like, you're like, I just want to be a mom. Like, I'm yes, right here. That's what I'm talking. Any of the guys, I just want to be a dad. Like, I'm really excited about being a dad. Come on, I see you. Awesome. I can remember when I was a kid, I remember the first thing that I wanted to be. I remember it very clearly. And while it may sound profound, just hear me out. When I was a kid, I wanted to be an archaeologist. Right? Like, you're like, what in the world is that? Let me help you out. It is my four-year-old way of saying I like playing with dirt, right? Like, I wanted to just keep playing with dirt. What I've realized, this is a side note, there's two kinds of kids in this world. Two kinds. Those that play with dirt and those who eat dirt. I was not, if you're laughing, never mind. I wanted to be an archaeologist, but as I got older, my desires, they matured maybe a little bit. And I wanted to be a professional athlete. Like, I wanted to achieve this goal of being a professional athlete. And for the longest time, I played football, but then I got to high school. And everything changed, right? Like, there were guys that were huge, and I decided for my well-being, come on, it was best if I decided to change sports, change what I wanted to do. I began to play soccer, and I played soccer all through high school, played soccer in college, and actually moved to the country, Panama. Shout out to all my Latinos in the building. ¿Cómo están? Bienvenidos a casa. If you did not understand me, it wasn't for you. It was not for you. I moved to the country Panama and actually played professional soccer there in Panama. And what I want to speak to you about this morning is what I learned in that process. I just want to talk for probably the next 3.5 hours. Pastor's not here. No, I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that long. I want to talk to you from what I learned in that process, that the reality for me is that my success left me in a place of satisfaction. That I was good. I didn't want anything else from life. I achieved, at the age of 23, I achieved all my dreams that I had for myself, and it left me in a place of satisfaction. Like, I'm good. I don't need anything else. I'm good. God's blessed me. If you got your Bibles this morning, I want to turn to some scripture. I love the Bible, and I want to turn to the book of 1 Kings. There's a story in here that I think is incredible. And we're going to turn to the book of 1 Kings. And if you all will go to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 1. On the screens, if you can go to 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse number 30. Let me give you a little background of this story. There is this king and his name is King Ahab. Now, King Ahab is the seventh king of the kings that came after King Solomon. You may have known King Solomon, right? You guys know King Solomon. He was the seventh king to come after King Solomon. And the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter number 16, verse number 30, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. King Ahab was a bad dude. Like he did not follow the ways of the Lord. The Lord set up some guidelines so that the people would be blessed with that, so the king and the kingdom, that it would be blessed. And his guidelines were pretty simple. It was like, just follow in the ways of the Lord. It was really easy, but King Ahab decided that's not what I want to do. And in this, the Bible tells us, kind of as we advance in the story a little bit, that the Lord saw what King Ahab was doing, and he saw that it was evil. So the Lord sent this prophet named Elijah to come in and to give a word to the king. Elijah comes in, and he says, King Ahab, listen, what you are doing is not right. And I'm here to tell you today, the Lord has sent me here to tell you that I'm going to pray, and it's not going to rain in the land until I come back and pray again. Now, I don't know about you, but I imagine King Ahab was like, all right, cool, do your little prayer thing, get on, right? Like, I imagine he didn't really believe this because obviously he didn't fear the Lord. He didn't really care about what God had to say, and much less a man. He had no respect for this. I believe this is probably how the story went. It doesn't say this exactly, but in my mind, when I read the scripture, I try to put myself in it. In my mind, I imagine King Ahab was like, yeah, all right, come on, get out of here. Elijah leaves. A week goes by. Ahab's like in the kingdom, in the palace. Everything's cool. Bring me some food, right? Like, he's doing his thing. He's not worried about it. A month goes by. King Ahab's like, huh, it hasn't rained in a little while. No worries. 3 months go by. Ahab's like, it's getting kind of hot. Okay, all right. It's okay. It's gonna rain soon. 6 months go by. Ahab's probably like, hey, everybody, y'all need to pray to the gods that we serve or something, because something is wrong. A year goes by, and I imagine this man is like, okay, everybody, find Elijah, go find that guy, because it is not raining. And it says, the Bible says that he went and sent people out to go find Elijah. Because he was like, it's hot, we need some rain, my cattle are gonna die, the people. He didn't really even care about the people. He was more concerned about his livestock not dying off than the people. It goes to show you just what kind of man he was. And it's interesting because Elijah comes back after 3 years. 3 years without rain. It's been about 3 days without rain, and some of us are like, man, it's too hot in Mississippi. It is just, Lord, send the rains, right? Like, where is Elijah? And we're going to pick up in the story right here in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse number 1. It says, after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria, and Ahab had summoned Obadiah, his palace administrator. Obadiah was a devout believer in the Lord. While Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them in 2 caves, 50 in each, and supplied them with food and water. Now, When I was younger and I read the Bible, I did this. Maybe you did this, but I did this for sure. When I would come across stories, I would pick a character and I would choose to be that character in the story. Like in the story of David and Goliath, I'm David. Everybody else is Goliath. I don't want to be his older brother who was wrestling with fear. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be David. I want to slay the giant. Or when I read the story of Daniel in the lion's den, it's right, like, I'm Daniel, y'all the lions, and the Lord is shutting your mouth so that I can do all that he's called, right? Like, I wanted to be Daniel. I didn't want to be the king who said something and regretted what he said later because he had to live with the consequences. Like, in this story, I want to be Elijah. Like, I don't want to be the servant Obadiah that gets like three verses. I want to be Elijah. And if you know this story, like you know the result of this. Elijah comes back and he says, okay, we're going to have a showdown. You prophets of Baal, build an altar, and I'm going to build an altar. And whoever's God sends fire down from heaven, that is the real God. And that's the God that we're going to serve. And Elijah calls down fire from heaven. Amazing story. It's like, I want to be Elijah. I do not want to be Obadiah. But I've realized that in my life, I've never called down fire from heaven. And if I'm honest, I am probably more like Obadiah than Elijah anyways. See, Obadiah, he was a faithful servant. Like, Obadiah worked for this king who hated God, and somehow he was recorded as a man who was a faithful servant of the Lord. I don't know who your boss is, but it ain't King Ahab, right? And he, Obadiah, has found a way to be a devout follower of Christ in the midst of a kingdom under a king who does not care about God. Something spectacular must have happened in his life for him to continue in this place of, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord even though my king hates God. Something in his life must have been important enough for him to say, I'm going to risk my life serving my God no matter what the king has to say. I don't know about you, but there's some times in our lives where the things need to become a little bit more important of God and not as much everything else in this world. That we're willing to put ourselves on the line for what God is calling us to do. See, what I've realized in this story, and we read it together, what I realized, what happened in Obadiah's life, what gave him the courage to serve God in the face of people who hated God, was he found someone to serve. Right, we read this in the story. It says Obadiah found 100 prophets, hid them in 2 caves. I don't know about you, but check the logistics of this. That in a kingdom where he is called the palace administrator, the Bible, I've looked it up, and it says that it relates that to being like Joseph in Potiphar's house. As much rule and as reign as Joseph had in Potiphar's house was the same that Obadiah had in the palace of Ahab, to be the second in command. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever we talk about somebody who's in charge, everybody wants to know where you are, right? Like this morning when you saw me come up the stage, you were like, that ain't pastor. Where my pastor? Like, we want to know where's the person in charge, right? We want to know that Obadiah, the second in command, has somehow found a way to get together food for prophets, water for prophets in a place that hasn't rained for 3 years. Not only that, he's divided them into 2 different caves. He's feeding Chick-fil-A to these guys, Popeyes to these guys. They're getting food and water. And we see that somehow, some way, Obadiah was willing to risk his life. Like, literally risk his life for someone else. He found someone to serve. And we know for sure that his life was on the line. Because just like in Joseph's case with Potiphar and Potiphar's wife, she was crazy. Ahab has a wife named Jezebel. And she crazy too. Like, she's out killing prophets. She needs some help. She needs Jesus for sure. That if Obadiah was found out, we know for sure he would have not made it. Not him, not the prophets he was serving. What happened in his life? He found someone to serve. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know where you are this morning. But I truly believe that the reason why Obadiah was so comfortable with risking his life is because the Bible says he was a servant of the Lord. See, what I've learned about God is that the closer I get to him, the more he challenges me to help other people. I don't know if you found that to be true too, but it seems to me that every time I get closer and closer to God, what he's challenging me to do is to serve somebody else. I know we have this faith sometimes that says, no, I just need God, just him, you alone, Father. You and you alone. Like, well, the closer we get to God, the more we will see he puts us in a posture of service. Why? Because Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus didn't come to be served, but you got it, to serve. What moved Obadiah from a posture of being successful and satisfied? Like, let's be honest. Like, we wouldn't be upset with Obadiah if Obadiah was just a servant of the Lord. Like, if he didn't do anything for the prophets, we wouldn't be upset with him. You already serve under a king who hates God. Like, you're already doing really good right now. Like, we would not be upset with Obadiah. We would probably say, that's a good man right there. He's a servant of the Lord. He's serving God in the midst of his circumstances. And sometimes that's where we stop. Like, no, I'm just serving God in the midst of my circumstances. But apparently, God was challenging, was encouraging Obadiah to not just follow him, but also to serve someone else. I don't know about you, but my question would be, who do you serve? Yes, you serve God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's not what I'm talking about. I know you serve God. I know you do. That's awesome. When was the last time you served somebody who could not do anything for you? Sometimes we serve God because he can do stuff for us. If we're honest this morning. So God, today, Lord, I need the money in Jesus' name. Like, I worship all day. I'm a fast and pray, Lord. I know some of these things don't come out without fast and prayer. Somebody got my money. I'm a pray in Jesus' name. Sometimes we serve God from this posture of, hey, what can I need something too, Lord. I need something too. My question would be, when's the last time you've served someone who could do nothing for you? I don't know, but as I read this story about Obadiah, it seems as if that is exactly what he was doing. These prophets, their lives were at stake. They could do nothing for Obadiah. Obadiah had to hide them so nobody even knew they were there. And yet he gave of his time, gave of his resources, gave of his life for someone else. I don't know, but that sounds a lot like Jesus to me. Like, I think sometimes if we get a little bit comfortable with our success, that it'll leave us satisfied. I don't know where you are, but maybe today you're at a place where it's like, no, I'm good. Like, I'm good. God's good. My family's good. I'm blessed. God, thank you. I would challenge you that maybe your posture of satisfaction might need to change to a posture of service. That yes, God has blessed you. Amen. But he has blessed you to be a blessing. That maybe your position, maybe you got real comfortable in your position, right? Oh, I'm good. Got everything I need. The family's good. Everybody's good. Got a great job. Come on, God's providing for me. That maybe your position has left you paralyzed. That it's like, I don't need to help nobody else. Like, I'm going to just take care of my family. I'm going to serve them. I'm going to serve my family. Amen. Do that. Serve your family. Yes. But in this story, apparently Obadiah was serving someone else too. That it wasn't just about him and his, but it was about God and who God was telling him to serve. As I think about Obadiah, what I realize is that I want to be like him. Like, I'm cool with Elijah. Elijah's awesome. Like, I love Elijah in this story. He's great. But if I'm honest, I want to be the faithful servant. And can I be honest with you? I've been at Word of Life Church since I was 7 years old, right? Like, I grew up here. You may be wondering, how old is he now? Don't worry about that. Don't worry. This is not your business. I'm just kidding. I've been at Word of Life since I was 7 years old. And if I'm honest, what I've seen, the reason why I want to be Obadiah, the reason why I want to be the faithful servant is because I've seen my parents serve. I've seen my parents serve in seasons where it didn't even make sense. Where I'm like, why don't we like not go to church and actually like do something different today? Because it seems like this church thing is not working for us right now. Look at our circumstances, Mom. Look at our circumstances, Dad. Like, this church thing isn't really working. But for some reason, they continued in a posture of service. They didn't let their success keep them from saying, God, there's somebody that you need me to serve. Like, I've seen my parents serve in seasons that didn't make sense. That we didn't even have enough. And you want to serve somebody? And you want to bring me along with you? No. Listen, Mom. Listen, Dad. Give me some food or something. Like, I'm hungry. Service. See, this is why I love our church. Like, one of the principal reasons why I love our church is because one of our values is to serve. Like, that's one of our values. If you did not know that, that is one of the values here that we have at Word of Life Church. We believe that everybody can serve somebody. Like, when was the last time you served someone? I know you're here at the 8:30 service. Hey, man, you got up early this morning, did your thing. I'm proud of you. Thankful that you're here. Ooh, but when was the last time you came here to serve? Ooh, let me go to this side, y'all. I'm gonna go over here. That our value is to serve. And I don't know, but what I've learned about being a part of this house is that it seems like those values, the longer I'm here, they get into me. And it seems like my posture from this point on has been just to serve. Like, our posture can sometimes leave us paralyzed. That God's blessed us. God's provided for us. God's done what only he could do. And we are thankful. But we can see the miracles happen in our lives and forget that there's a miracle God wants to do through our lives. That it doesn't just stop with us. Obadiah figured this out. And in a time, in a season where it didn't make sense to serve somebody else, he said, I'll be a faithful servant. I know right now you're probably like, oh, listen, like, just, I would serve, but you don't know my schedule right now. Like, I got sports games. I got all things going on. Like, I don't really have time to serve. If Obadiah would have said, I don't have time to serve, who knows what would have happened to 100 prophets? Can I challenge you this morning? That maybe there's 100 prophets in our children's ministry. Maybe there's 100 prophets in our youth ministry. Maybe there's 100 prophets that are walking through these doors each and every weekend that need somebody to serve them, that need somebody to help save them from what's going on in their lives. I don't know, but the closer I get to God, the more that he moves me to serve someone else. And see, my heart now, my posture now, is that I'm not going to stop when I'm successful. I'm going to stop when God uses me to save somebody else, when God uses me to serve somebody else. I don't know, but I believe that God is challenging us this morning to move from a place of successful and satisfied to a place of saying, there's somebody that I need to serve, and I'm not going to stop till I see them saved. I'm not gonna stop till I see them saved. Because I realize I'm not the Savior. Obadiah is not the Savior, but he was used. Oh, was he used? That I'm not gonna stop until I see my service help save someone. See, I believe there's two groups of people in here. If I could oversimplify this message, I believe there's two groups of people in here this morning. One, I believe you're like Obadiah. God has blessed you. You're successful. Things are going good. Your family's taken care of. Like, God has been faithful to you. My challenge would be maybe God, maybe, just maybe, he's challenging you to move from a posture of successful and satisfied to a posture of service. Like, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whoever you want me to serve, I'll do it. Whenever you want me to serve, I'll do it. That just like Obadiah, something got him so excited enough to risk his life. Something meant enough to him to risk his life for somebody else. He got close to God. And God said, hey, I need you to do something for me. I need you to help save these prophets because nobody else is gonna do it. And maybe there's something specifically right now that God's like, hey, listen, nobody else is gonna do it. I need you today. I need you to serve. I need you to help them. Who's the last time? When's the last time you've served someone that could do absolutely nothing for you? Our value is to serve. And I would challenge you, if you're in that position of Obadiah, successful and satisfied, then maybe today it's time to move to a posture of service. But there's a second group. And maybe you're a part of the second group. And you're not Obadiah. You're the prophets that need saving. That maybe this morning you're like, listen, I would love to serve, but I need help right now. Like, this is great, Brian. Like, I love it. I would do it. But listen, like, woo, I need somebody to save me. See, the thing that I love, that there is a Savior. His name's not Obadiah. His name's not Elijah. No, his name is Jesus. That Jesus is our Savior. He's our Lord. He's our King. And today, I don't know where you find yourself, but maybe you say, I need a Savior. Let me help you today. That there is a Jesus who loves you, who gave his life for you, who wants to save you. He's done everything that needs to be done in order for you to be saved. And just like Obadiah with the prophets, oh, he'll take care of you. He'll hide you. He'll keep you. He'll feed you. He'll give you water. He'll make sure that you're protected and taken care of. If you need a Savior today, his name is not Obadiah. His name is Jesus. And he's here. And he wants to save you. I don't know where you find yourself. Whether it's like, I don't know the last time I served somebody. If I'm honest, I don't really know. Whether you're like, no, like, I need a Savior. That Jesus is here for both of those. Like, he'll show you who to serve, and he'll show you that he is the Savior. He's both. He will show you both. See, I want for all of us as a church, I would love for us to get the spirit of Obadiah on us. Oh, come on, that spirit that says, I'm gonna serve somebody. I don't care who it is. I don't care how much it costs me. I don't know what I gotta do, but I know if God's asking me to do it, I'm gonna do it. I just wish that as a church, we would get this spirit of Obadiah on us that says, I'm not gonna come and just consume. No, I'm gonna come and I'm not gonna be complacent. I'm gonna come and I'm gonna care for somebody else that can't care for me. Like, I wish that us as a church, this spirit of Obadiah would come on us that says, listen, like, I'm gonna stand up right now. Listen, I'm not gonna do this anymore, God. I know that you've blessed me, but from now on, I'm not gonna let my blessings leave me in a place of satisfaction. I'm gonna let them move me to a place of service. Like, I believe that if us together as a church, as the body of Christ, if we would come together and say, listen, we're not gonna let our success leave us satisfied. We're gonna realize our success, it is here for a reason, and God, he has blessed us, and we are thankful. Oh God, we're thankful. But we also know that it's not just so we can be successful. It's so we can use our strength to serve somebody else. I would challenge you this morning. Who do you serve? Like, I know we serve God, amen. But like, who do you serve that can do nothing for you? Come on, would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you for today. God, thank you that we have an amazing example in Jesus. That you sent your son, not that we would serve him, but so that he could serve us. And Jesus, we are so thankful for your sacrifice on the cross. We are so thankful for your posture of service. If anybody could have been complacent and successful, it was you, Jesus. But you moved from a place of contentment. You moved from the position that you were in. You moved from your success to a place of service to serve each and every one of us. So Father, if there's anyone in here today whose heart you have been dealing with, that maybe for them it's time to move from a place of success, a posture of success, to a posture of service, to say, I'm not gonna stop until I see you save these people. Whatever I gotta do, God, my prayer is that you would challenge them to move, that it would be so important enough in them that they wouldn't just hear this message and leave, but rather that they would move from a place, from a position of complacency to a position of service. But Father, I believe there are some people out here today that need to be saved, that need a Savior. And so if you're in here and you say, in this season of my life, I need a Savior. I've never accepted Jesus, or maybe I have accepted Jesus, but I need him to show up in my life today. Like, I need him to move in my life today. And on the count of three, I just want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. So that's me. Yep, I need a Savior this morning. I need him today. Beautiful, beautiful hands going up all over the place. Beautiful. Beautiful. You can put those hands down. Now I'm gonna pray a prayer, and I want you all to pray this prayer with me. I don't want you to repeat it after me. I want you to pray this prayer with me, because this is the prayer that changes everything. This is the prayer that invites the Savior into your life to save you. So everybody in here, let's pray this prayer together. Let's say, dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Jesus, I know that I've messed up, that I've made mistakes, that I've got it wrong. But today, I declare and I believe that Jesus, you died for me. And not only did you die, but on the third day, you rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. My past, it's gone. All things are made new right now. And Jesus, I choose to serve you.